Hey, it's The Takeaway, and I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. Allow me to make some introductions. This is Ryan Wild. He's a producer here on The Takeaway.
Feels like a jetpack.
And this is Katarina Barton, also a Takeaway producer.
Yeah, it definitely tickles.
Now, Katarina and Ryan are here to bring you a story about experiencing music while deaf. Both Katarina and Ryan are hearing, but when our executive producer asked our team to consider how Sound Central concerts and events are made accessible for people who are deaf or hard of hearing, well, Katarina and Ryan were eager to jump right in and find some answers. And they're starting with The Grateful Dead.
Okay, Ryan, when you think of the Grateful Dead, what comes to mind?
I'm imagining a huge concert filled with tie-dye t-shirts, bell-bottom jeans, a lot of folks barefoot, and then, of course, the croon of Jerry Garcia's guitar.
For decades, the Grateful Dead packed stadiums and arenas around the world, followed by their die-hard, tie-dyed fans, the Deadheads.
And for all those Deadheads, the band and their cultural legacy represent a vision of a more idyllic world.
My favorite song changes by the season. What's important to me is that I feel the thread, the harmony, and I really, like, get it. Recently, Birdsong or Morning Dew, either one of those.
Jeff Rosen is a Deadhead, but he's also a Deafhead, which is what people who are deaf and also Grateful Dead fans call themselves. He spoke to us through an American Sign Language, or ASL, interpreter.
I really just got into it at a show on one random day, 1985 in Seattle. I went with a few other deaf friends. We all went as a group, and it was really just a magical experience. And I was like, what is it? What's so special that's happening here? Like, what's going on? You know, it was a little unusual. And I thought that it was unique. And someone explained to me that this is just their typical shows.
And after that first show, Jeff attended over 200 more Dead shows.
200?
200. And Jeff was also the chairman of the National Council on Disability under the Obama administration.
For Jeff and other deaf heads, being able to feel the vibrations and the energy at the shows was important. And so was location.
When deaf people are, like, close to the stage and they have that vibration experience and they can feel it, they can move with the music in a way that's generally different from people who are, like, up in the nosebleeds. Those people up there do experience music generally auditorily for the most part. You know, there is some visual effect, but it's so far away, it may not be the same. So unfortunately, vendors tend to put deaf people in the back. So for example, they may have, like, wheelchair access that way. And that is important, but it's not a good fit for deaf people to put them in that same seats.
Jerry Garcia even had his own unique sign name amongst deaf heads.
Jerry lost one finger. You know, there was, like, an accident. It didn't affect his guitar playing, but they were deaf individuals who, like, come up with name signs. And so because of that missing finger, that's his sign name. So it's, like, a way to refer to him as a sign name.
If you put your hand up like a high five and put your middle finger bending downwards, voila, you have Jerry Garcia's sign name.
So the Deafhead movement emerged from Gallaudet University, a school for the deaf in Washington, D.C. And over time, it evolved from friends gathering just for fun and to enjoy a concert to something a little more organized.
And one of the Deafheads at Gallaudet was Jeff Rosen.
Later on, it became a little bit more formal as we were talking about how we can access the shows better and have a higher benefit from attending the shows. They're very interested in including the deaf and making sure they had that inclusion there. It was a very important concept, but some people don't understand how to incorporate it. So a lot of, like, deaf heads tried to explain a few simple concepts that really would help people accommodate what was needed and have an enjoyable show. And that's really what it was when you think about, like, deaf heads as a whole.
The deaf head movement continued to grow. they began advocating for more accessibility at concerts, working with venues, promoters, and the Grateful Dead sound team. Eventually, venues started carving out dedicated deaf zones for deaf heads.
Generally, being close to the stage is good, and you want to be close to the stage for the vibrations. That's how everyone can experience the music, both hearing and deaf and hard of hearing individuals. You feel it through your body in that sense. So some people would bring the speakers and they would be in there and you could really get into it and see all the vibrations and get the true feeling. And it helps rewire your brain. So this way you can identify the music and the experience fully. And they would have like interpreters. The Grateful Dead, for example, they have a huge repertoire. There's several hundred songs. So in that case, you want an interpreter who is able to effectively get that. And that's done in the zone. And that's really great for people to be involved, so this way, not only deaf people, but everyone can experience it as well.
For the deaf, experiencing music at concerts is in many ways the same as it is for hearing folks. But to heighten the experience, some deaf heads use something surprisingly simple.
For some deaf individuals, they do make the decision to bring their own balloons so that they can feel the vibrations that way. And they can do so with their hands and they get the vibrations and it really helps connect what's happening to their brain. So there is like that auditory cortex of your brain. So if you don't have hearing, a lot of people resort to using this to get that same experience.
Now, when they were using those balloons, it wasn't just about feeling the vibrations. It was about connecting to the overall vibes.
Being there, being in the audience, being able to have the experience of the visual aspect of it and having that connected with the vibrations and all of it coming together to one lived experience, it really evolves to something more than just music. It is an entire system. It's a whole experience that is obviously similar and dissimilar to deaf and hearing people, but it is really helping you process and understand all the signals that are coming in through your body and connecting and relating to the music.
Jeff told us that the Grateful Dead's commitment to music accessibility fostered strong connections, not just between himself and the music or himself and other deaf people, but a connection to the entire experience.
I really think about like my life, my soul, you know, being able to communicate with everybody, having that experience, having that shared experience. I think that's beautiful. And my experience has just been wonderful. It's just been really has allowed me a lot broader of an understanding about how important some things are in the world.
It's really cool how they use the balloon. But what if there was a better way to catch the vibrations of the music, say with your entire body?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, Ryan, because that's coming up next on The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Back in the summer, New York's Lincoln Center hosted a season-long music and arts festival called Summer for the City. And they strive to make it more accessible for the deaf community.
That meant having different options available. ASL interpretations, screens with captions of lyrics, and even screens with creative descriptions of the feeling and the tone of the music.
And they also collaborated with a tech company called Music Not Impossible. They aim to create inclusive, accessible live music experiences.
And this is where some of the cool innovations come in.
Instead of just broad brush strokes, we actually were giving them like an easel and a load of different colors, and like you can go into high detail of where you're sending the vibrations, and it just takes it to a whole different level.
My name's Paddy Hanlon, and I'm co-founder of Music Not Impossible and a vibro DJ.
Yeah, a vibro DJ, as in vibrational. Katerina, you want to take this one?
So Music Not Impossible created what it calls a haptic suit, which basically looks like a vest that you would wear if you were playing laser tag. But this one is for music. And Patty's job as a vibro DJ is to translate the music into vibrations that you can feel throughout your entire body.
I'd carve out the kick drum, just using EQs, and I'd send that to the lower back. Like, I'd start there as a sub, and then I'd go around the mids and create like a bass element, and I'd send that to the mid back, and then I'd grab a snare, and what I'd do is I'd put that in the spine, just like a constant that's keeping the motion going. Hi-hats I'd put in the wrist, keeping the motion going. Guitars, or I put the piano player in the wrists, keeping the motion going. So we're in complete control of what vibration we send to whatever part of the body.
So it creates this immersive musical experience where you don't have to hear the music to feel the music.
And we spoke to some folks who were at this event. They are part of the deaf community and were able to try this technology out.
This music is from Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, performed by the Mostly Mozart Festival Orchestra. It's conducted by Louis Langres with pianist Conrad Tau.
My name is Alberto Madero. I am a sign language interpreter. I'm also a CODA.
Okay, real quick. A CODA stands for a child of a deaf adult. And you may remember the Oscar-winning film by the same name. Most of Alberto's direct family is deaf, including his mom. And we spoke with them together. Alberto interpreted this interview for his mom.
Well, my name is Mary. Huasca is my last name. I was born, and at 6 years old, I got sick, and that's how I possibly got deaf. Growing up deaf, my family had no communication skills. My brother and my sister, you know, they went to classes, and they got to learn maybe a little bit of sign, so that's pretty good. I'm deaf, you know, because I feel things through vibration. I don't hear no voice. I can't hear anything. I'm completely, completely deaf.
Mary usually experiences music through that vibration.
I feel it mostly through the floor, not through the speaker or through the walls. I feel it through the bottom coming up. And then if I was to put my hand on the floor, I'll feel it, you know, more so. But the vibrations are strong through the floor.
Now, going back to Alberto, he often works for Lincoln Center as an interpreter for their concerts and symphonies. And at the Mostly Mozart concert, he got to try on one of these haptic suits for himself.
Words can't really describe it. You know, like I said before, I grew up in a household of deaf members. And oftentimes, you know, you listen to music and it's a feeling that you get inside. It's a feeling that you get in your heart. It's a feeling that just moves you. What moves you may not move me. But all in all, to be able to explain that to someone that doesn't really hear the music, it's kind of hard to do that. So by me putting on that device, I literally cried. I had a moment where I just saw myself not having to be able to explain the feeling, because the haptic vest did it for me. It took away that element of me trying to explain the feeling when they can feel it themselves. And all I had to provide is the element of the lyrics or the wordplay on top of it, if you will.
In other words, the vest became its own sort of interpreter.
It made me look back when I was younger, growing up, not being able to translate music and just the feeling of it. I felt so disconnected when I would listen to music and my parents would say, hey, what are you listening to? What are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm listening to music. But it was much more than that. And that haptic vest, I think, provided that layer of connection in music now with me and my mom. And my mom loves music. She loves to dance. So I think that was just amazing. So I had to tell my mother to come the next day to feel it.
For Mary, the concert going experience wasn't always accessible. And she didn't feel super connected going, because the lack of accessibility meant a lack of community around the music.
But the vest opened up a whole new level of access to music.
I know the vibration when I'm on the dance floor, and putting on the vest, it's just different. Like, you feel it on your side, then you feel it on your arm, then you feel it on your hip, then you feel it on your leg. I was like, whoa, like, I was kind of like, it was kind of cool. Like, and then the fact that it was on my feet, it was like in my ankle, I was kind of laughing because it was something I've never felt before. I like the fact that the vibrations was on the leg, and it just like, just kind of like make me wanted to get up and just kind of dance.
Katarina, from what she's describing, it sounds fun. Like she's wearing a roller coaster on her body.
Yeah, Mary said she didn't even want to take it off.
And then when I took off the device, it was like, oh man, like it just felt different because the vibrations just made me feel so connected at times throughout the whole concert. I really loved it.
So Ryan and I walked into New Blue, a music venue in the East Village of New York City that is working to become the first fully accessible music venue.
And we came on to try and experience haptic suits for ourselves. And we just want to reiterate, Katarina and I are not deaf or hard of hearing. So we were testing this out as two people who can hear the music as well as feel it.
So first, Ryan got strapped in.
They queued up some Skrillex.
You can see the actuators here. They're about 24 points of vibrations across the suit. I am going to fit this onto you as if it were a book bag, and then I'm going to make some adjustments to make sure that the suit is snug around your body so that you can feel the vibration.
That's like a jetpack. I feel like I'm ready to go somewhere, be transported. And I went somewhere. It was like, boom, 0 to 60, straight into a full-body Skrillex DJ set. And if you hear some buzzing sounds, that's the sound of the vest.
Where are you feeling the
vibrations? I'm feeling the vibrations everywhere. Okay, intensely in my torso right now. So it feels like I'm a drum set, almost. And different parts of my body are different parts of a drum set. It's really strange. But it does compel you to want to dance, that's for sure. The only thing holding me back are these headphones. I really want to move my body.
And while I was watching Ryan holding back his dance moves, the actuators were lighting up all over his body at the points of vibration.
I gotta say, probably for the best for all those in attendance that I held back on the dance moves.
Well, now I want to try it on.
Yeah, let's have Katarina
that's
for
what
that.
I wanted to hear. Yeah. Great.
And I got to experience the more subdued tones of Binarium by Danny Dunlap. He's one of Music Not Impossible's vibro tactile composers, and he's a vibro DJ. That definitely tickles. It's like slow rolling like vibrations across these like checkpoints in your body where the monitors are. Yeah, and you can hear, I don't know if you can hear me, but you can hear the different instruments, I feel like, or like the different pulses of the song. There's like every once in a while a little pulse by my ankles and then a pulse in my arms. Oh, it's like honestly like you're in a sound bath. Like it's a full body experience. Obviously, I can hear the music too, but it's very cool. You know how there's like surround sound? This was like a surround body experience.
It felt like I was a teenager again with a massive sugar high.
Yeah, it makes you like want to dance, like you said. Like you can feel like all the pieces like moving your body, really. Ryan and I both felt like dancing when we wore the vest. So let's hear from someone who is actually a dancer.
My name is Shelly Guy. I work as a director of community engagement and events coordinator and the director of artistic sign language for Body Language Productions.
We spoke with Shelly through an ASL interpreter, and Shelly was at Lincoln Center for their silent disco.
Which is?
Everyone is together, but instead of music playing through speakers, you're hearing it through individual headphones. You can still feel the energy, the vibrations from the rest of the crowd, and there's dancing. But you're having this individual listening experience within this collective experience.
And if you take off the headphones, a silent disco sounds kind of like what you would think it sounds like.
Here's Shelly again.
I was born deaf at 8 months old. We found out that I was deaf. With hearing aids, maybe I can hear a dog barking, a plane flying overhead, maybe a car honking, but that's pretty much it.
Throughout her childhood, Shelly got really involved in dance performance. You might assume that it's harder for deaf folks to dance, but Shelly told us that she learned to rely on certain cues, and the dance moves followed.
So before the vests, I would always say that the people around me were my music. And what I mean by that is I would see how other people dance and I would kind of pick up on the beat and reflect their dancing. If someone was moving, then I would watch their body movements and I would copy them. Sometimes in a concert, I'll move closer to the speakers so I can feel the bass. As for performing on stage, I rely a lot on counting, especially as a dancer. So it's like, if I know what the beat is and I'm like, okay, 5, 6, 7, 8, and it's an 8 count, and then I can rely on that, of course. Memorizing movement, feeling the movement of other people around me, cues. And I also use lights as a cueing system to help me pick up dance moves and movement on stage.
Shelly also relies on music interpreters, and she actually works as one herself.
She explained that there's more to interpreting music than just signing the lyrics. It's sort of like a performance art in and of itself.
When I get a song, I'll look at the lyrics and I'll work with an interpreter to understand the meaning and the metaphor behind all of the lyrics. Because in sign language, you don't sign things word for word. A lot of people get confused with that. So interpreters don't just go on stage and sign just the words.
Shelly told us that at the silent disco, along with the music interpreters and the visual cues she typically relies on, the vibrations she felt coming from the Vibro DJ to the haptic vests sort of brought the entire experience together.
What was different this time was when there were violins or piano sounds, I had cues on my wrists and my ankles, and then there was also vibrations in the back of the vest. That was different from what I would normally feel. So like higher tinny sounds versus like lower beats and like the fluctuation of music itself, I got a better three-dimensional experience of music. Before, it was just like boom, 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 boom. So there were a lot of things in the air that I was missing that were translated into my wrists and my ankles. And I was really in awe of that, right? It was a lot of stimulation, you know? And I was like, oh, I see what you mean. I understand what you mean. And I felt like it was a very complete experience.
It feels like she's describing a lot of the things that we also felt. Like putting on the vest allows you to feel a deeper connection to the music.
Yeah, exactly. And there was this common thread with everyone we spoke to, right? They all described a connection that even extends beyond just the music. You get the sense that greater accessibility can break down the barriers of a concert experience. It connects deaf folks to each other, it can connect deaf folks to hearing folks, and it all happens in this one unified experience.
I feel like these vests are very inclusive because after so many years, this world is really, really focused on voice, speech, hearing, you know, radio, for example. Not that it's a bad thing at all, but it's very audio-centric, right? And it can be very exclusive to the deaf community. But this time I felt like there was a huge opportunity to collaborate and include the deaf community and our experience with music. Maybe we don't experience music exactly like you guys as hearing people, but as a universal language, we should recognize that music is just that. It's a universal language.
Special reporting there from Takeaway producers Katarina Barton and Ryan Wild, with some truly extraordinary Jay Cowett and Vince Fairchild sound design. And that's just part of the dope crew that is Team Takeaway. Also on the team, Sham Sundra, David Gable, Mary Steffenhagen, Katz Posado, Monica Morales-Garcia, David Escobar, Jackie Martin, Zachary Bynum, Shanta Covington, and Wombo Wu. Now, if you or someone in your life is deaf or hard of hearing, we will have a full transcript of our Music for the Deaf segment up at thetakeaway.org. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. This is The Takeaway.